I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
We didn't need the National Guard. Why on earth? What are they going to do? Do you know what the National Guard is doing now? They are guarding two buildings. They're guarding the federal building here in downtown, and they're guarding the federal building in Westwood. That's what they're doing. So they need Marines on top of it? I don't understand that. That's why I feel like we are part of an experiment we did not ask to be a part of.
The Pentagon's deploying 700 Marines to Los Angeles, and President Trump deployed an additional 2,000 members of the National Guard, bringing the total to 4,000 as part of an unprecedented military response to community protests in L.A. against immigration raids. We'll speak to California Attorney General Rob Bonta.
In partnership with Governor Gavin Newsom, are suing President Trump and asking the court to set aside the president's unlawful action federalizing the California National Guard.
We'll also speak with reporter Gene Guerrero in L.A., author of Hate Monger, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump, and the White Nationalist Agenda. And we'll get an update on Kilmer Abrego Garcia, the Maryland father, who was wrongfully sent to a maximum security mega prison in El Salvador. He's now back in the U.S. in a Tennessee prison facing federal charges. And we'll talk to a U.S. diplomat who resigned over Gaza and is now joining the global march to Gaza to break the Israeli siege. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Protests continued in Los Angeles Monday as the Trump administration announced it's sending 700 Marines to the city. They're expected to arrive in L.A. by this evening, deployed from nearby Camp Pendleton, in addition to another 2,000 National Guard who were sent to crack down on protests that erupted over a wave of ICE raids across L.A., bringing the total National Guard presence in L.A. to 4,000. California's filed a lawsuit in response to Trump's deployment of National Guard and Marine forces, which Governor Gavin Newsom called a, quote, blatant abuse of power. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass accused the Trump administration of fomenting chaos and making L.A. a test case for imposing authoritarian rule against more U.S. cities.
We need to stop the raids. This should not be happening in our city. It is not warranted, and it does the only thing it does is contribute to chaos. This was chaos that was started at Washington, D.C. On Thursday, the city was peaceful. On Friday, it was not, because of the intervention of the federal government. And it's, again, I don't think our city should be a test case, a laboratory.
We will speak with California's Attorney General Rob Bonta, who brought lawsuits against Trump later in the broadcast. David Huerta, head of the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union in California, was released on bond Monday following his arrest by ICE Friday, which provoked widespread outrage. Huerta was charged with conspiring to impede an officer, which could result in a six-year federal prison sentence if convicted. Huerta called for a justice for all detained immigrants following his release.
So I just want to say that when we're here, there's protests outside. That means in there, they're in lockdown right now. They're in lockdown. They cannot come out of their cells, not even to eat. They cannot come out.
Earlier Monday, loved ones of detained warehouse workers rallied outside a clothing manufacturing plant that was raided by ICE Friday.
This state loves to boast about it being the best. This whole country boasts about being the best. But how can we claim that if we can't uphold basic human rights and due process? I also want to ask, where is the sanctuary California promised us when our police departments choose to defend ICE officials instead of its own people?
Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says he's contacted the U.S. government over what he called the horrific shooting by L.A. police of Australian reporter Lauren Thomasy. She was hit by a rubber bullet while she covered the protests. The group Reporters Without Borders condemned attacks on journalists covering the demonstrations in L.A., which have impacted at least 27 media workers between Friday and Sunday. Meanwhile, the city of Glendale in Los Angeles County announced Sunday night it's ending its agreement with Homeland Security to detain immigrants arrested by ICE amidst the popular revolt. Several Democratic Congress members from California and New York say they were blocked from entering Immigration and Customs Enforcement jails for safety inspections over the weekend to check on people arrested during recent mass raids. Among the group is California Congress member Maxine Waters, who Sunday attempted to inspect conditions at the Metropolitan Federal Detention Center, where David Huerta, president of the California branch of SEIU, was jailed. Here in New York, Congress members Nydia Velazquez and Adriano Espaillat said they were blocked from inspecting an ICE jail in Manhattan, 26 Federal Plaza, where advocates say over 100 immigrants recently arrested at federal court hearings are now being detained in overcrowded cells. The detainees have also been reportedly forced to sleep on bathroom floors. In Gaza, at least 60 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli attacks since Monday. In southern Gaza, Israeli forces opened fire on a group of families walking to an aid site, killing at least 20 Palestinians, injuring over 100 others. At Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, health workers say they've been overwhelmed with cases of people attacked while seeking aid. This is Dr. Mohammed Sakhar.
Daily, we receive many martyrs and wounded people from the U.S. food distribution centers located in Rafah. Most of the martyrs and the wounded who arrive at Nasser Medical Complex, their injuries are in the upper part of their body, especially the chest and head area. Unfortunately, the situation is tragic. Daily, we receive dozens of martyrs and wounded.
At least three Palestinian paramedics were also killed in Israeli strikes while attempting to rescue wounded families from an Israeli airstrike on a home in Gaza City. Their names are Hussein Abu Faisal, Wael al-Attar, and Bara Fana. The journalist Momen Abu Al-Off was also killed in that attack, the 227th media worker killed in Gaza over the last 20 months. This all comes as a UN commission says Israeli attacks on Gaza's schools, religious and cultural sites amount to war crimes and crimes against humanity. In more news from the region, Israel launched overnight strikes on Yemen's port city of Hodeidah, a key port for the entry of humanitarian aid. Israeli officials have also threatened to impose an aerial and naval blockade in response to ongoing Houthi attacks on Israeli and Israel-linked vessels, which the group launched in response to Israel's war on Gaza. Israel's formally placed under arrest eight of the 12 international activists from the Gaza Freedom Flotilla after they refused to sign a voluntary deportation order. One of those arrested is Rima Hassan, French-Palestinian member of the European Parliament. Earlier today, Israel deported other Freedom Flotilla passengers, including the Swedish activist Greta Thunberg. Massive protests erupted in France Monday in response to Israel's raid of the Madeleine in international waters as the ship attempted to deliver food and medicine to besieged Palestinians in Gaza. Five of the Madeleine passengers were French. Greta Thunberg is also being deported to Paris. More international activists are making their way towards Gaza, this time by land, in an effort to break the Israeli siege. On Sunday, a Tunisian-led road convoy of activists, lawyers, and medical professionals started the journey from Tunis towards the Rafah crossing in Egypt. This is organizer Wael Nawar.
This march is not a train or a plane. It is a protest or an independent, mobile, Maharajan popular gathering, which will stop in many countries and at many stations in Libya, Tunisia, and Egypt. It will speak to people, speak about the Palestinian right, mobilize people, and more than that, will remind everyone that Palestine is not just on social media or in another planet, but it is at days walking distance. So the Arab people should remember that we are one land, one people.
Hundreds of activists from around the world are expected to converge in Cairo this week before making the journey by foot to Rafah as part of the Global March to Gaza. One of the high-profile participants will be Zwelivilele Mandla Mandela, South African Member of Parliament, grandson of Nelson Mandela. We'll speak to another participant, former Biden administration official, Hala Rarit, who resigned over Gaza from the State Department. We'll speak with her later in the broadcast. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. fired all 17 members of the Centers for Disease Control's Vaccine Advisory Panel, accusing the panel of conflicts of interest. The move was roundly condemned by medical associations and public health experts. Dr. Richard Besser, former acting director of the Centers for Disease Control, said, quote, "Nobody has done more than Secretary Kennedy to sow unwarranted doubt about the safety and effectiveness of vaccines. This decision demonstrates a complete lack of caring about the health and safety of every American," he said. The committee's recommendations are considered binding and affect which vaccinations must be covered by insurance. Kennedy had vowed to keep the committee in place during his confirmation hearings. Meanwhile, some 340 employees at the National Institutes of Health penned a scathing letter to agency director Jay Bhattacharya, objecting to the termination of over 2,000 research grants and the cancellation of over $12 million in grants and contracts. The letter, entitled the Bethesda Declaration, reads, quote, "We dissent to administration policies that undermine the NIH mission, waste public resources, and harm the health of Americans and people across the globe," unquote. Some 5,000 NIH workers have been fired by the Trump administration. Separately, Public Citizen Monday published an open letter signed by 6,000 medical professionals admonishing the Trump administration's cuts to health agencies and the Republican plan to slash Medicaid in the current spending proposal. The health workers wrote, quote, "We are certain this will cost lives," unquote. In Austria, at least 9 people have been killed in a mass shooting at a high school in the city of Graz. Several students are among the victims. The suspect has also been reported dead. And Brazil's former president Jair Bolsonaro is expected to take the stand this week as a Brasilia court considers attempted coup charges against the disgraced leader, who's accused of masterminding a far-right conspiracy plot to cling to power after his 2022 re-election loss to President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. The coup plot allegedly included a plan to assassinate Lula and a Supreme Court justice. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
We begin today's show in Los Angeles as the Trump administration sends more troops into the city following 4 days of protests against military-style immigration raids. The Pentagon's deployed 700 Marines to Los Angeles, and President Trump's deployed an additional 2,000 members in the National Guard, bringing the total National Guard's members to 4,000. On Monday, the state of California sued to block the use of National Guard troops. We'll speak to California's Attorney General Rob Bonta later in the broadcast. On Monday, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass decried the militarized response.
We didn't need the National Guard. Why on earth? What are they going to do? Do you know what the National Guard is doing now? They are guarding two buildings. They're guarding the federal building here in downtown, and they're guarding the federal building in Westwood. That's what they're doing. So they need Marines on top of it? I don't understand that. That's why I feel like we are part of an experiment that we did not ask to be a part of.
Despite the Trump administration's militarized response, community protests against ICE raids are continuing in Los Angeles and other cities. In fact, on Saturday, the day that President Trump will be celebrating his 79th birthday, and there will be Abrams tanks in a birthday parade in Washington, D.C., rolling through the streets of the Capitol. We go now to Los Angeles, where we're joined by Jean Guerrero. She's contributing opinion writer at The New York Times and author of the book Hate Monger, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump, and the White Nationalist Agenda. Jean, why don't we start off by you describing the protests on the streets? Have you been to them? And talk about this unprecedented use of military power. And the Republican Party, the party that champions states' rights, President Trump going against the states' rights to bring in the U.S. military against the wishes of the local mayor, Karen Bass, and the governor of California, Governor Newsom.
Absolutely, Amy. It's great to be here. I want to be clear about what is happening here. The federal government is going into the diverse communities of Los Angeles to terrorize them. They are ICE is showing up outside of schools, outside of Home Depots, outside of other workplaces. They're snatching people off of the streets, outside of their homes, in front of their children, often without warrants. But what's happening in these protests is that people of all races and backgrounds are putting their bodies on the line to protect their friends, their neighbors, their family members from these arrests. And it is a beautiful thing to see. I was just at one of the protests yesterday where I spoke to grandmothers, you know, white grandmothers who are going out to protect people that they love and who they're afraid could be picked up by ICE. I spoke to Latinas who are, you know, afraid of being racially profiled and arrested because of the indiscriminate nature of these arrests, but they are nevertheless putting their bodies on the line because they're citizens and they believe in using their privilege to defend the people that they care about. And these protests have been largely peaceful. You know, these are people who want to tell ICE that they are not welcome in their communities. And what we're seeing is a provocation. You know, the deployment of the National Guard and the Marines against the wishes of California's leaders, it is an attack on the sovereignty of the state of California, and it is an effort to provoke Angelenos into a violent confrontation. They want protesters to react violently, to distract from what is really happening, which is that, you know, families are being separated, our communities are being devastated, and the people of Los Angeles are standing up to say, we will not stand for this. But the administration is trying to bait them into violence, to brand them as rebels and justify sweeping federal crackdowns and to create the viral images that will distract Americans from the appalling reality that ICE is kidnapping valued community members and destroying families here in Los Angeles.
And Jean, you've posted on social media, quote, Trump's immigration agenda is not about law and order. It's about reengineering the racial demographics of this country. Could you elaborate, especially in terms of the fact that Stephen Miller, a Trump's key advisor, has called this a fight for civilization?
Yeah, you know, this crackdown is personal for Stephen Miller. As I report in my book, Hate Monger, when he was a high school student in Los Angeles, he frequently antagonized his Latino and immigrant classmates, telling them to, quote, speak English and to go back to their home countries. Back then, he was criticized for his views, and he has spent his career trying to punish the communities that rejected him. These mass deportations are not about border security. They're not about crime. They're about erasing the multicultural fabric of places like Los Angeles. And, you know, I want to repeat that this is not about cracking down on crime. Let's remember that on his first day in office, President Trump pardoned the people who violently assaulted law enforcement during the storming of the Capitol on January 6th. So Trump and Miller are not against crime. They're not against gang members. In fact, in my book, I extensively document Miller's early dreams of being a gangster. What they're doing is they're running a mafia state that scapegoats immigrants as a pretext for the subjugation of us all. So again, they do not care about law and order. Miller's central obsession was never illegal immigration. It was always legal immigration. This is why from day one you saw the strangling of refugees, access to refugees, a suffocation of the asylum system, strangling of green card access, the attack on birthright citizenship, trying to now invoke the Insurrection Act to deport people indiscriminately simply based on the color of their skin. So again, this is not about national security. It is an ideological project of demographic engineering cloaked in the language of law enforcement, and LA is resisting.
And could you talk about the number of journalists who have also been injured by law enforcement these past few days in Los Angeles?
Yes, several journalists, including colleagues of mine, have been hit with non-lethal rounds. Some have been hospitalized. I believe PEN America has recorded at least 27 attacks on LA journalists since June 6th. Reporters are being shot with rubber bullets and chemical munitions. And this is very concerning because these so-called non-lethal rounds can, in fact, be fatal. The respected Chicano journalist Ruben Salazar was killed with a tear gas canister in 1970 while covering protests here in L.A. And that memory lingers for journalists here in the city, especially for Latino journalists who are trying to expose the injustices that are happening in their communities.
Jean Guerrero, if you can talk about what is happening in Los Angeles right now, is where all of the attention is because of this unprecedented calling out by Trump and Hegseth, the defense secretary, of the Marines and thousands of National Guard, federalizing them. But in fact, this is happening all over the country. If you can talk more about the two men you wrote a book about, your book, Hate Mongers, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump, and the White Nationalist Agenda. You have Stephen Miller saying that the ICE agents have to go to 7-Elevens, have to go to Home Depots. This is very different than Trump talking about getting the murderers and rapists, and bringing up the number to 3,000 arrests a day. So you see mass arrests taking place in Texas. You see them in Arizona. We're not even at this point paying attention because of the militarization of Los Angeles.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, what you're seeing is sort of exponentially what we saw during the first administration, which is resources are being diverted from serious homeland security investigations, from serious drug trafficking and human trafficking investigations to try to meet these quotas of human beings rounded up to satisfy Miller's appetite for cracking down on immigrants, whether they're legal or whether they're here illegally. And one thing that has not gotten enough attention and which I want to underscore is that what's happening in LA is people are risking their safety not only to resist what is happening, not only to resist these kidnappings of their valued community members, but to document and to expose and to bear witness to what is happening. They're recording videos of mothers being torn from their children, being arrested outside of courthouses, of pregnant women being roughed up on the streets and being detained, of fathers being separated from their weeping daughters. And these images are crucial because each act of documentation is chipping away at the alternate reality that Trump and Stephen Miller have created, this alternate reality in which they're cracking down on gangsters and rapists and serious criminals. I cannot emphasize the importance of this enough. The administration is ramping up deportations to a never-before-seen level, which means that they are more visible than ever. They used to happen in the shadows. Now people can see it happening everywhere, and people are taking out their phones. They're recording what's happening to their family members, to their friends, to their neighbors down the street. And as a result, these deportations, these arrests are becoming much harder to misrepresent. And this is a threat to the narrative that Trump and Stephen Miller have spent years putting out there. And so I really believe that if Los Angeles refuses to be baited into violence and instead stays disciplined and continues to dedicate themselves to relentless exposure of how ICE is kidnapping innocent people and what they're actually doing to valued members of our community, I think this can all end up backfiring on the Trump administration, and that Trump's attempt to provoke chaos in our communities will end up collapsing under its own cruelty.
And Jean Guerrero, I wanted to ask you about the conflict, obviously, that has arisen between the elected officials in California and the Trump administration. You know, I was there as a reporter back in 1992 at the Los Angeles riot back then. And there really is no comparison between the events of the past weekend and 1992. Back then, 60 people, more than 60 people were killed. 12,000 were arrested. Over 1,000 buildings were damaged. And by the time that President George H.W. Bush brought in the National Guard, 30 people had already been killed. And he did so at the request of a Republican governor, Pete Wilson, and a Democratic mayor, Tom Bradley. Talk about the difference between how the elected officials are responding here and the excuse that Trump has used to call in the National Guard and the Marines.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a majority of these protests are peaceful, as I mentioned. You know, you see children at these rallies. These are demonstrations of people who are simply trying to peacefully demonstrate and tell the federal government that they do not want these kidnappings of the people that they love in Los Angeles. The last time that you had a president send the National Guard against the governor's wishes, I believe, was in 1963 to enforce desegregation in Alabama. So it is really unprecedented. And honestly, it's textbook authoritarianism. I mean, you now see, you know, Trump talking about arresting Newsom and other California leaders. And on the one hand, this is shocking, but on the other, it's completely predictable. I mean, this is what authoritarian governments do. They use immigrants as a pretext to go after the opposition, and immigrants are just the first target. If you look at the white nationalist literature that inspired people like Stephen Miller, it vilifies not only a law-abiding immigrants, but anyone who defends them. The worst villains are not immigrants in this literature, even though they are described as monsters and as beasts and as threats to Western civilization. The worst villains in this literature, and I'm talking about books like The Camp of the Saints, which Stephen Miller has openly promoted, the worst villains are the white allies of immigrants, the politicians and the activists and the ordinary people who show them empathy. Those are the people who are, quote, tainted by the milk of human kindness, as one of Miller's formative books puts it. And so the logical conclusion of Trump's policies is not just ethnic cleansing, it is ideological cleansing. It's a purge not just of people, but of principles. They want to root out anyone who believes in compassion for the stranger, who believes in immigrant rights, who believes in a multicultural or multiracial democracy. This is a vision of America where you are American only if you choose hate. And if you choose love or compassion, you are part of what is poisoning the blood of this country. And so I'm not surprised to see the president coming after, innocent people who are not just the immigrants in our communities, but the people who are defending them, who are white, who are black, who are brown, who are of all different colors, and who are simply expressing their humanity and their compassion for the other.
Jean Guerrero, you contributed to a New York Times piece Monday headlined Seven Hidden Ways Trump's Mega Bill Would Remake America, in which you wrote, quote, this bill would pave the way for the largest investment in federal immigration enforcement since the establishment of the Department of Homeland Security in 2002, one that would turn that department into a Trojan horse for an assault on the civil rights of all Americans. Can you lay out your concerns? We just have a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. So nearly two-thirds of Americans live in what is known as the 100-mile border enforcement zone, where people under this bill, they already face the risk of warrantless seizures, of racial profiling, of constant